I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Ooh, we're happy. Sinister Sightings 303. Donna was like, and Paranormal Chicks.
I know, but I think I was making up for the first part because I was like, hi, y'all, I'm Donna.
Almost said, instead of very monotone, almost said very axolotl because somebody had just messaged that. And so I was like, that's not the word. Well, this brain of mine firing on all cylinders and like a four cylinder. Bad joke. Okay, bad joke. Okay, moving right along. The first one. Hey, bitches. I have a few paranormal experiences I wanted to share. Let's just get right to it. First story. A little backstory. I lived with my great-grandma for the first 13 years of my life. My great-grandpa passed when I was 5 in the house. All of the things happened probably from 5th to 7th grade. My grandma's house would rearrange her house all the time. There has not been one room in the house except the kitchen that has not been a bedroom. Crazy, I know. We also always shared a bed or a room together. This particular time, the bedroom we were in was the bedroom my great-grandpa passed away in. I remember laying in bed and hearing pots and pans moving around the kitchen and footsteps. This doesn't happen every night, but we would stay in bed and listen. One night, I decided to say, you need to leave. Y'all are not welcome here. Let's just say it never stopped, but we were never bothered. Now, fast forward, it's cold outside, so my grandma has moved the bedroom into the front of the house, and the back part of the house is blocked off with sheets to keep the warm air in the living room and kitchen. One night, my grandma and me and my cousins were in the, quote, bedroom getting ready to go to sleep. It was probably around 12. It was the weekend, and we start hearing a high-pitched sound coming from the front of the house, like something needing some WD-40. It happened for a while every night on the dot between 12 and 3. Now that I'm older and know that's when shit goes down, it freaks me out a little. We had my uncle come over one night and we sat in his car and waited to hear the noise. And when we heard it, he pulled into the side of the yard and flashed his brights and there was nothing. But you could hear the sound plain as day. I can't remember if we ever stopped hearing it, but that was a scary time for me and my little self. Fast forward again, I've now moved in with my mom. It's my junior year of high school. By this time, my grandma has been diagnosed with leukemia. She would come stay with my mom or other family member when she would come down for treatments. It was early December and she was put in the hospital. We'd anticipated it was her time because she'd been put in the hospital before, but this time was a little different. I stayed with her the night before she passed. She started talking about how she had seen my great-grandpa in the corner of the room and how she needed to tell someone something, but she never said who or what. By morning, she had family all over. My mom was on one side and me and my cousin on the other side. We saw her take her last breath. Me and my cousin stood up immediately and hugged each other and started bawling. When we pulled away from each other, my nose was bleeding. I still think that's crazy because her cancer was blood cancer. When we went home that night, I went straight to bed. My mom came to my room and told me that I had a little visitor. When I turned around, it was my boyfriend I had at the time. That obviously wasn't the visitor I wanted, and when I saw him, I turned around and started crying. After we had services for my grandma, I would have dreams of me and my grandma talking and having lunch or dinner, and I was telling her what was going on in my life at that time. Those dreams didn't come every day, but they didn't stop for a long time. My mom said that when she was coming home from work, she could feel something cold touch her leg. My grandma's hands were always cold. My aunt said that when she was at work, she was in her office, all glass, and a balloon was floating kind of like low passing her office window. She went to look and the balloon came up and it was directly in her face like it was looking at her. When my aunt came to see my grandma the day she passed, my grandma couldn't see anymore. My other aunt said that she saw a shadow that looked exactly like my grandma right before she found out she had passed. I know what y'all are thinking. Damn, this bitch has more. Yes, I do. I'm almost done. This was more recently, the end of September of this year. My mother-in-law unexpectedly passed away. We were close, but we also had our disagreements. My mother-in-law was found in her home and had been there about 4 days. Me and my husband heard from her that Sunday, and her neighbor said the last time they saw her was Monday. My brother-in-law had been trying to get a hold of her since that Wednesday. She was supposed to come over that Saturday. Friday is when she was found. Very traumatic for my husband and his brother. We started cleaning her house and getting valuables. One night, my husband and brother-in-law didn't want to go, so me and my sister-in-law went. It was around 5:30, and we had moved everything around, separated things that were going to the trash and things that we were going to give away and sell. Me and my sister-in-law were looking in the guest bedroom to see what we had left. We had given some things away, and she asked me why I didn't give this away to a person, and I told her that that person wasn't my favorite person. And my sister-in-law says, "Oh, I thought you liked them." Before I could answer, we hear a ding. We turned to look out of the bedroom and looked at each other. I said, "Oh, hell no, we better hurry up." We chilled out, and I continued to tell my sister-in-law, "No, I didn't like that person." Another ding. It was the same ding as the first. We looked at each other. I said, "Fuck that." We took off and grabbed our shit and bounced. As we were shutting the door, my sister-in-law thought it would be funny, and she said, "Bye, Kim. We love you." As the door was shutting, another ding. I slammed the door so hard, I locked it and took off. My sister-in-law should have been in front of me, but somehow I was already by the car and she was running behind me. I had goosebumps up and down my arms. My mother-in-law knew I didn't like the person we were talking about. She was trying to join the conversation. We said we weren't going back at night again. Well, the next day we went because we had some people coming to pick up some things. I was sitting on a chair that was next to the front door. There was an ironing board we were using to hold the door open, and the whole week we had been there, the ironing board held the door open. My sister-in-law was asking if we wanted to let her mom keep my mother-in-law, father-in-law, and brother-in-law's ashes until they could get them shipped. I called my husband to see what he wanted to do, and he said no. We got off the phone, and I looked up at my sister-in-law, and her eyes were wide. And when I went to turn around, the ironing board falls and damn near takes me out. Do we go back after that night? Fuck no. My mother-in-law had her fun. Well, that's my last story. I know they're long. Hope y'all enjoyed them. Love, Cynthia from Texas. Your mom is Donna as a damn ghost, wanting to get up in a conversation with the ding, ding, dings.
Absolutely. Let me say my piece.
She said, "I have tea too."
That would be so hard to, like, hear people but not be able to give the answers. It must be like y'all, when you're listening to me and Carrie say the wrong thing, where we're like, "What's that one thing called?" and we can't think of it. And y'all are like, "It's this!"
Like screaming at the radio.
Or when, you know, we get the episode number wrong and y'all are like, "No, it's not." Also, did you get married to your then boyfriend? Because you said...
I don't think so.
How do you know?
Because it was the way they said, hold on, that they were, well, that they were upset about the visitor, but I think it's because they wanted it to be their grandma,
yes.
But I don't think so. No, I get that, but it was, there was something else in the way they said it that, okay. I was like, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, they didn't say, so well, I want to know.
Cynthia, if you got married to said boyfriend, let us know. And I will say I was wrong, but I'm guessing no.
Probably not. It seems like she was, like, younger.
Also, so, okay, with the balloon thing, what I'm understanding is, so your grandma had lost her vision at the end, and your aunt was there, like, trying to say bye to her, and she felt like she couldn't see her because she lost her vision. And so with the balloon, like, how it was, like, right in front of her, like, it was looking at her, like, it was, like, your grandma looking at her one last time. Okay.
But also, all I could think about was it.
Yes.
I'm like, nope.
Like,
if
grandma.
It's one balloon... No. If it's like multiple, yes. Oh, cute, a bouquet of balloons. Bouquet, whatever. See, y'all are screaming at me going, it's this.
But like, why'd your grandma have to pick all the creepiest ways to communicate? Your grandma and your mother-in-law.
Like, what the fuck?
Well, before we get into the next story, we have to talk about BetterHelp because this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. All right, Donna, we've all heard about the red flags, right?
I heard about them. I love them.
You are one. But we know those are things you definitely want to avoid in a relationship, i.e. Donna. But what if we started focusing on green flags?
Oh, I love that. It's all the things that we know we should be in a relationship and what we should want from someone, you know, someone who's willing to listen, not Carrie, when they respect your boundaries, not me.
I was about to say, you better not say me with that.
But seriously, it's those little things that make you go, yeah, this is the kind of relationship I want.
Exactly. It's like finding someone who gives you the space to grow, but also shows up when you need them. The thing is, sometimes we need a little help figuring out what the green flags look like and how to manage the red flags.
Oh, for sure. Because if you're anything like me, you get so caught up in avoiding the red flags, we forget to actually look for the good stuff. And that's where therapy can come in.
Yeah, because, you know, before Colby, I tolerated a lot of the red flags because I was scared I wasn't going to find somebody with the green flags. But therapy can help you recognize those green flags, whether you're building relationships with friends, dating, or just working on yourself. And let's be real, who doesn't need help with relationships sometimes?
Ain't that the truth, says the single girl over here. But therapy's not for just fixing problems. It's about learning the tools to make sure your relationship thrives. And again, that's with someone or with yourself.
Therapy helps you understand how to be the green flag for others, not just how to set your boundaries and blah, 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 blah for managing red flags.
Right. And that's what we all deserve. Relationships that love us back, not just in the good times, but through those ups and downs and all arounds. And that's what BetterHelp's all about.
BetterHelp makes therapy super accessible. You can do it all online, so you're not going to the waiting rooms. You're not like getting in your car, driving over there. Then you got caught in every red light and you're running late. And oh my gosh, does your plates have a 15-minute cutoff and all the things? There's no stress.
I was about to say, one thing that gives me anxiety is, what are the chairs like?
Yes.
Because if I'm having to sit there and talk about like all my feelings and stuff, can I fit in the chairs or am I going to have to be scooted to the edge? Like,
and then you're going to be uncomfortable for it?
Yes.
Yes. Nobody's trying to be uncomfortable for like an hour in your session. Well, with BetterHelp, you get access to a network of over 30,000 therapists. So you are going to find someone that you click with.
And if you don't vibe with that therapist, no problem, because you can switch at any time at no extra charge. It's all about finding the right fit for you.
So let BetterHelp help you, you know, set boundaries, manage your flag situation, all the things from the comfort of wherever you want it, whether you're sitting in your recliner, at your computer, or on the go. Head on over to BetterHelp.com/APC to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/APC.
Start living those green flag relationships today at BetterHelp.com/APC for 10% off your first month.
Okay, the second one. Is this a dream? ? Hey, ladies. First off, I want to say I love you both so much. My sister Paige recommended me over to you a couple of years back, and I've been hooked ever since. Your laughs make me laugh, and your friendship reminds me of my friends back home. You always help me get through my workday. Anyway, let's get weird. A little backstory. In 2022, I went through a really messy breakup with a long-term boyfriend and started partying a lot. Going out to the bars with girlfriends every weekend on top of working at a winery. Let's just say I had a lot of fun, but I'm glad it ended when it did. I decided to move to Montana with just my dog, and so I had 4 months to figure out a job, sell all my things, and book a one-way ticket to a state I had never been to. But it was the best decision I've ever made. With the last few months in my home state left, I decided to download Hinge to see what kind of guys were out in these parts. I started talking to this guy and we hit it off. He's now my boyfriend of almost 2 years and he's literally my best friend. One night I went to bed and had a dream about this said guy and we were at a party at his friend's house in Montana. He told me he needed to use the bathroom and he walked away. Within seconds of him leaving me all alone, these three girls walked up to me and started being so mean, telling me I was ugly, saying that he didn't like me, that they have no idea what he sees in me, yada, yada, yada. Then I was transported to a swing in the back of the house. Picture it. It was a beautiful pink and purple sunset, and the mountains had fresh snow on them. The mountains almost looked fake. There were trees all over, and it was pure bliss. I was on one swing, and there was another girl on the other swing. We swung so high up in the air that I could see every single mountaintop. On our second or so time up, I looked over at her because she said something and then looked behind me and I saw a shadow figure with a top hat and a cloak at the bottom of the swing. But he was just a void, like pure darkness. I hit the top of the swing and started screaming and crying because I knew once I got down to the bottom, he would take me. Halfway down, I woke up and I looked at my phone. But after I looked at my phone, I said, wait, this has happened before. And then I woke up again and said the same thing. I was still dreaming, but I thought I was awake. And I don't know how many times I, quote, woke up and realized that I was in a dream. Next thing I know, I'm in sleep paralysis. I'm laying on my stomach and my bedroom is at the bottom of the stairs. I hear someone or something slowly descending the stairs. Boom, boom, boom. I try to scream for my roommates, but my mouth isn't opening. I feel myself trying to scream, but I can't get the words out. It felt as if there was tape on my lips, trapping them shut. I felt darkness, evil. I knew this thing was after me, and it wasn't good. Once this thing hit the bottom stair, and I felt it standing outside my door, I woke up. When I woke up, my bedroom door was shut, but my closet door, 3 feet from my side of the bed, was wide open. I have chills writing this. I didn't sleep the rest of the night because I was so scared that if I managed to fall asleep again, that I would relive that dream over and over again. The next morning, I reached out to my friend who is a Wiccan and her mom is a very, very powerful medium slash healer. I told her everything I told you and she told me that there were energy vampires and believed that the three girls in the dream were a part of it as well as the man at the bottom of the swing. They ignite fear in you and feed off of your fear. And due to me being in a horrible place mentally, they targeted me. That was the one and only time I've ever had sleep paralysis. And let me tell you, that was one of the scariest moments of my life. I've had lots of other scary dreams with a huge black bull chasing me, getting haunted by your podcast, being a haunted little girl, having 5 ghosts attached to me, and so much more. Let me know if you want to hear them. If this does make it on the pod, thank you so, so much for reading it. Stay badass, ladies. XOXO, Courtney S. from Montana.
Hold on. We haunted you? What Ooh. Bitches? Wow, we're the worst.
Could you imagine?
If you talked like that, it would be horrible. Yes. God, did she talk like that in your nightmare? Because she does in mine.
But also, why'd that man have to like ruin the swing? That is an amazing dream, just look, going up and up and up.
I love a damn swing.
Me too. You know, I haven't swung in a long time though.
I want a swing.
Me too.
Actually, that's so funny. Somebody asked me that today. Do you have a swing? And I was like, no, I want one.
Now, the thing about Carrie is I can't have my feet down. She just has the swing because
she swings too slow.
She's a power swinger, okay?
I have sensory issues. I can't help it.
And so I'm just like, I'm along for the ride. But I meant like not that kind of swing, but like the one-seater swing. So you could just go and go and go.
Mm-mm. No, I like a big boy swing.
Remember when we used to go to the playground after dark and, you know, we shouldn't have, but YOLO, but we would just swing on the swings and everything. Ugh.
I love it.
Me too. Now, could I fit on those swings? That would be the thing. The metal would probably like get my side fat.
For sure.
Oh, it would not be comfortable.
No. It'd be fun though.
It sure would. Colby, come push both of us, please.
He talked about getting us one for an anniversary or something. But they're so expensive.
They are. Oh, and absolutely, we want to hear all the stories. If you're willing to share with us, we want to hear all of them.
Okay, the next one. Hey ladies, it's Maggie again. I thought I'd share a true crime story with you. I wrote in about the haunting in my home of Warwick, New York. Say that, Donna.
Warwick, New York. Okay, I might not be able to say it, y'all. I'm just saying you should sign up for the bloopers because that was a lot of bloopers right there. And that's on Patreon, y'all. But I've done a story in Warwick, New York.
You say it so slow. Warwick.
Ours are my weakness.
No, samesies. But it was just funny. Like,
they're Warwick, not the same, okay? I had speech I had to go through, okay?
I have noticed lately, I stutter a lot. Like, just in my, just, I don't know if it's, like, caffeine or if it's, like, I'm just, like, amped up, you know, like, if I'm, like, really busy at work or something. But, like, I will really get hung up on a word.
Really?
And not just, like, words are hard. No, like, I will stutter.
Yeah.
Can you develop a stutter later in life?
Who knows?
Okay, so back to Warwick, New York. Recently, after seeing my mom for Thanksgiving, we talked about the incident. We decided to look up if there were any reports about the crime. In 2019, the almost two-decade-long unsolved murder that happened down the road from my childhood home was solved. The details on the report barely exist. Since it was an open case for decades, the public didn't get much information, besides rumors and what we all knew about it. So I'll tell you what I know about the murder and the link to the article with highlights. First, a little background. The reason I know so much about this story is my dad used to work with James. My mom and dad decided to have date night the same night he was attacked. My mom had this terrible feeling during the movies after their dinner and said that they needed to go home now. Came home to the babysitter watching TV while my sister and I slept. Nothing was wrong. They just chalked it up to my mom being anxious since it was a new babysitter. To get home from the date, they drove right past his home. It still hurts my dad knowing he was right there and passing by, possibly as his murder took place. In February 2003, a man named James Keating didn't show up for his job at FedEx. James had never missed a day of work in the roughly 10 years he had worked at this job. Working holidays, picking up shifts, never being late, and being an overall great employee, this was strange. He lived alone and had no family, so it wasn't like a family emergency just popped up and he forgot to call. His manager called the police to go to his house and check it out. When local police came to the scene, his car was in the driveway. Walking up, the door was unlocked and ajar. They had called for him and no one answered in the home. For safety purposes, they went inside and found a terrible scene. James had been stabbed to death over 20 times in his bedroom. There was blood everywhere, and as far as we had known, barely any evidence. No weapon left at the scene. It was like a ghost had came in, attacked him, and left. There was town speculation that it had been a crime of passion from a partner of James. He was in the closet about his boyfriends in the past. There were a couple of people under pressure by the police, but nothing had a solid lead. Months passed with no leads, which turned into years, then a decade. The house had been sold and bought by another family. They knew of the history and, well, say it's haunted. Sadly, if it is, I'm not surprised. I was thinking about the case randomly and decided to look up if there were any news reports on the incident. Lo and behold, there was. A man named Felipe Campos had been arrested and charged with second-degree murder for James Keating's murder. I was shocked and so happy. There was never a public statement on how they determined he was the murderer, just that after an extensive investigation by state police, he was charged with the crime. I could only find one article and was really disappointed. Carrie, if you find more, it'd be great to hear more on a main episode. Thank you for reading my story. I can't wait to hear more stories from the rest of the group. Those curious, today is December 10th. Creep it real, Maggie.
I can't imagine what your parents feel like going by his house that night.
Right?
I mean, especially your dad, since your dad worked with him. Right. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes, like, when I'm driving down, like, in a neighborhood, really, I'm like, I wonder what's just going on in their house. And, you know, you're like, are they having sex? Are they doing this? Like, are they watching TV? What are they watching on TV? Because, you know, I'm so freaking nosy.
Yeah.
But, like, that really would be the time, like, you're going down being like, I wonder what James is doing. And then, like, holy fuck.
Okay, so I just did, like, a quick little Google search. Okay, so this one little article I found from, like, a very quick Google search said that in 2004 that they said the DNA evidence collected from the home would probably be, like, the best chance for solving it. But whenever they arrested him, they didn't say, like, that it was DNA, but if they're saying this is our best chance,
yeah,
they probably connected. And that was from Record Online.
I don't know what you said. Did you say connect it to him?
I don't know. I told you I'm having issues.
Connected it.
I told you I'm really having issues. Also, there ain't no job in the history of jobs that I will ever have or had have that will say, I didn't miss a day and I was never late.
Right.
You have to be some kind of a special human to never be late to work.
Oh my gosh, right? Like literally, I have been late walking from my bedroom to the thing. Not really at my last job, but like, and it's not really late, but it'll be right on time. You would think I would be like down, like getting myself ready early. No, I'm Carrie, calculating how it'll take me 30 steps to get to my office. Mm-hmm. So
yes. Okay. Sidebar on Times Union. I did find an article that said it was DNA that connected him. Okay. Literally, though, this morning, Colby was brushing his teeth when my alarm went off, and I was like, okay, I absolutely have to get up. And I'm the type of person that I don't open my eyes until I have to.
Mm-hmm.
So I was literally sitting on the toilet with my eyes closed.
Yes, you do that.
I do. I just, it's so much work to open your eyes in the morning. And of course, I haven't said a word to him. Like, yeah. He's like brushing his, and like, I have not opened my mouth. And he may have said morning, and I think I grunted. And he just starts cracking up. He's like, you really do hate waking up. Like, yes. You really do hate waking up. And I'm like, yes, of course I do.
Mm-hmm.
Who likes it?
I used to. Like, remember, like, in college, I'd be like, boom, up, never snooze.
I ruined you.
You did.
Two things happened. I ruined you with the snoozing. And then my sister ruined me when she taught me that I could just hit the side button on the iPhone and that snoozes it instead of having to open my eyes and hit snooze. So now, once that first alarm goes off, I just lay with it on my stomach and go click, 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 never have to open my eyes.
Okay, the next one. Updated house happenings. Hey, besties, you all should already know how much I love you by now because I tell you every time I write in. But just in case you forgot, I love you all so freaking much. You always brighten my day and find ways to make me laugh. I've written in a few times now about our house. We're coming up on our 2-year anniversary in our house. If you remember, we built our house from the ground up, literally with my husband and his dad digging the hole for it to be built. Since my last story, we've had some new things happen. A few months ago, I needed to run a quick errand. My son, who's 5, was already in bed and sound asleep. He had been in bed for about an hour at this point, so little dude was out. My son is and has always been a great sleeper. I told my husband that I needed to run out and get my few random things and I'd be right back. And I kid you not, my husband and I both heard a little voice come from the direction of our son's room and say, "What about me?" My husband and I looked at each other in confusion and slight horror. I went on talking because I was just going to ignore it. But then my husband goes, "Son, it's way past your bedtime. Get back to bed." At this point, I decided I needed to go check things out. I went to our son's room and again, little dude was out. There was no way he could be faking it. I know when he's fake being asleep. He has very distinct breathing sounds when he's actually asleep. And when he's pretending to be asleep or just laying in his bed, he sounds completely different. All the moms out there know what I mean when I say you can tell by their breathing. I went back to the living room and told my husband and was like, there is no way that was our son. So I promptly left and I called my mom. Like, she could help from an hour away. But my mom also isn't necessarily a believer of the paranormal, but she doesn't not believe, if that makes sense. There's another update after this one, but I'll send that in a separate email since I know both of your bungholes are getting tight. Much love, Emily.
Emily, perfect.
Right? Because, I mean, this was sent December 12th. The last one, December 10th. And it is February, like, 3rd. 2nd, 3rd. I don't know. January was fucking long.
It was. I said that today. I was like, how is January the longest month and also, like, it felt like it was the longest month ever, but also felt like it was the shortest month ever. Like, part of me is like, oh my God, we're already in February. But then part of me is like, Jesus God, we're just now in February.
I know. And your son is me, asleep, but still FOMO. Like, I feel like he transported himself there and was like, wait, what about me?
You know, it got me wondering, because I'm such a sleeper now, I wonder what I was like as a kid. Like, I know I used to get in trouble for not going to sleep because my sister and I shared a room and a bed. And so we would play. But like when I was little, was I a good sleeper or was I bad?
Yeah, I don't know what I was.
But you know what? Us being the last of four kids, ain't nobody remembering that shit about
us. No, no. And by that time, my mom was probably like, let her cry it out. It's fine.
Yes, she's fine. She'll figure it out.
But also, I slept with her and my brother. So, like, I think I probably was a good sleeper because she would read to us until we fell asleep.
Yeah.
Because my mom, like, needed 1 hour.
Yes. Why? Both of your parents.
I know. I don't know how they did it.
You used to be like that. You're still more like that than I am. But you used to be able to function on, like, 3-4 hours of sleep and be totally fine.
Yeah. My age has caught up to me, though.
Well, and your health, too. Like, just...
What are you talking about? No, I'm just joking.
Like with your, you know, lupus and shit.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I've been super tired. But like not when I wake up, even though I don't get out of bed. That's where I get mad at myself is because I'm not sleepy. I just don't want to get out of bed.
Yeah.
But like after I eat, it could be a freaking protein shake. I get so sleepy.
I wonder why that is. I wonder, it's not blood sugar though.
But that, okay, so that's what Callie said. She was like, can you take your blood sugar? And I was like, but like we've done it fasting and everything and it's fine, but maybe it does spike or something after I eat. I don't know. I'm also out of my iron and my hematologist appointment kept getting knocked back. So I'm like, can't y'all feel my iron? Like, I literally have been on it since I was diagnosed with my clotting disorder and stuff.
Yeah, I wonder why they can't just give it to you.
I don't know. Okay, but enough about us. Sorry. Imagine that. We just start talking about us. Let me just say, I love that you said bunghole.
Yeah, that was funny.
I love how you were like, okay, I'm outie. Gotta go run my errands now. Just leave your husband in there with the ghost child, maybe. Or your son who can throw his voice and like do all the things. But yes, even though I'm not a freaking mom, I know because I like just me in general, like when you're like, I mean, maybe not everyone does this, but when I fake sleep with my dog, like, cause I'll just see like, can she tell if I'm asleep or not asleep?
You what?
I fake sleep.
Maybe don't tell anybody else that. What do you mean you fake sleep to trick your dog?
Yes, cause I just want to see if she'll cuddle with me. Or, you know, like how they say, like, if you, like, act like you passed out, like, what will your dog do? It's like that. But I just wanted to know. But, like, I know she knows I'm not actually asleep because I sound different. You know, I'm not, like, snoring up a storm.
There's a lot to unpack there, Donna.
You've never done that?
Not once.
Okay. Well, she can say that to me. But she held hands with someone who wasn't there watching Sister Act. Yeah, okay. I'm bringing that back up. Yes, I know you were young then. I'm young at heart, Carrie.
You, what?
Like, if we're on the bed, like, because I, like, do her affirmations usually on the bed while I'm, like, petting her and stuff.
I told y'all, lots to unpack here.
I will, like, lay down on my side and see what she does. You've never done that? Has anyone never done that?
No, I'm kidding. No, I've never done that, though.
But do you do it to, like, your... nephews and nieces?
Well, yeah, that's
okay,
different.
It's the same.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. We're just going to move along, guys.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the next one. Good day, beautiful ladies. The gasp I gasped when y'all read my sinister sightings on my birthday.
Holy shit.
Then the puckering of my butthole when y'all read my next story just 7 days later. Yikes. Full disclosure, I sent in another one only 10 days after. So if y'all end up reading that one the following week, how embarrassing for me. Anywho, it's been a more appropriate amount of time. So I figured I'd send in another story while procrastinating on all the things that need to be done just 12 days before Christmas Eve. When my husband and I were dating, I did open up to him about some paranormal encounters I had experienced. I know for a fact that this man thought I was straight up crazy, and I get it. I mean, for real, who besides Haley Joel Osment goes around telling someone that they see dead people or at least know when they're there? One late evening, early in our relationship, he was driving us around back to his house, and we were just chatting. All of a sudden, I saw a woman in the middle of the road, and I yelled out, "Oh my God, watch out!" as I held my hand out. My heart was in my throat as my whole body tensed up and I sucked in all the air I could breathe, just bracing myself for impact. Just as he hit this woman, she evaporated into nothing. Y'all, the look on his face after he slammed onto the brakes for literally nothing. Bless this man. I apologized and we agreed that he's a good driver and in fact would not hit a human or an animal for that matter. He did eventually learn to believe that maybe I wasn't that crazy and that I could see and sense things that others can't sometimes. The moment in particular was when we were heading back from visiting with his granny. Granny lived on an old farm that was subdivided out into smaller farms and homestead properties, so still in the middle of almost nowhere. We were heading back. I took a deep breath, thinking to myself, okay, this could either be a make it or break it moment, and I was going to go into detail about what I saw there. I was too compelled not to. I turned to him in the front seat as he drove and I said, I'm going to tell you something. You don't need to believe me, but for whatever reason, I have to tell you. After a bit of a pause, he said, okay. I explained that on the top of the hill behind his granny's was a young Native man. Around his neck, I saw a totem necklace with three specific animals. Then the man pointed down the hill to a dried creek bed. Immediately, his face turned pale. I asked what was wrong. He told me that when he was a young kid, he and his dad would go exploring and look for old treasures around the property. Coins, arrowheads, musket balls, all sorts of things. They found the exact necklace that I described to him in the dried up creek bed. Creep it real and don't get scared. With all the love, Chris C. from MD.
I freaking love your name.
I'm so glad you told him because you followed your gut and you're like, okay, yeah, I gotta tell him.
Yeah. I feel like you telling your significant other that you see dead people is better than half the shit I tell people, which is probably why I'm single.
I feel like Chrissy from MD telling that they see dead people is better than you telling me that you pretend to sleep to Birdie.
Sometimes. I don't do it all the time. It's just sometimes. I just want to see.
I just want to see. That was funny. Some things are better left unsaid.
I want to have a pet psychic talk to Birdie, but also I don't want her to tell you all the things that she has to put up with.
Oh, that... We talk about there's a lot to unpack with you.
She would be like, she pretends to be asleep sometimes. And I just look at her.
Yeah, she does this really weird thing. I don't know what she thinks I'm going to do, but like.
Oh, and the gasp that you gasp. What did you do when you thought your husband hit somebody and she evaporated, though?
For real.
Because I would have pissed myself. Well, I have a bladder of steel, so I probably wouldn't have done that. But I would have been like. I don't do anything, so I would have just, like, done the fainting goat thing.
Ew, I have a bladder of steel.
Would you ever go to one of those trampoline parks?
And sit on the sidelines?
No, jump.
Yes.
Would that make you pee?
1,000 for just the thought of going.
Well, it's the thought of me having to wear socks that, ooh. Well, and also, what if I fall? I can't get back up. You know those foam
pits? I swear to God, I was about to say, I ain't jumping in no damn foam pit, though.
Like, I wouldn't want to try that, but be like, Colby, can you go get me up?
Oh, God. Poor Colby.
Like that one time he had to get me up when we went to see the porcupine. Yes. I was like, I can't get up.
He was like, I'll get you up. Just get down there. Kyed, poor Colby. We're so lucky.
Okay, the last one. Sister Act saves the day. Hey, you beautiful ghouls. I guess since Carrie's butthole is puckered, it's past time to send in stories. Picture it. Weed Patch, California. And they had CA and they said, that's California, Carrie.
You know what? Thank you.
January 29th, 1996. It was the night before my older sister's 13th birthday. We had already eaten dinner and watched Sister Act 1. The TV guide said Sister Act 2 was up next, and my mom told my sister that we could tape it, as long as she set an alarm to wake up and turn off the VCR when the movie was over. My mom threw the load of jeans from the washer into the dryer and sent us off to bed. My dad was off at training at the time to be a correctional officer, and so my siblings and I would take turns sleeping in the big water bed with my mom. This night, it was my sister's turn. They were both snuggled into bed, sleeping away when my sister's alarm went off. She sleepily hit snooze and rolled over. 9 minutes later, it goes off again. Like any teenager, she hit snooze again. My mom was irritated at this point because don't fuck with her sleep. And she told my sister that she needed to get up and turn the VCR off now and just be done with it. My sister walks out of my mom's room and down the hall. She turns off the VCR and turns around to go back to bed when she realizes all at once that she smelled toasted marshmallows and she sees smoke coming from the dryer. She runs into my mom's room and wakes her up, telling her that there was smoke. Everything after that went so fast. My mom got my six-year-old brother out of bed and my sister woke me up. Once we were out of the house, my mom was just grabbing whatever she could and throwing it out the front door to my sister. She grabbed photo albums, a clean basket of laundry, the box of ornaments that still hadn't been put away. The last thing she went for was our bird. He was right next to the dryer and she was afraid he was already gone because of the smoke, but luckily he was okay. We piled into the car and drove down the street to a phone booth. My mom called 911 while we looked out the back window at all the smoke. We drove back to the house and parked in our neighbor's driveway. We watched our whole house burn. It was a mobile home, so it went really quick. I have a vivid memory of sitting in the car and looking through the dining room window. The light fixture was swinging so hard and the glass was just popping. It's one of those core memories. Once the fire was out, we drove to Grandma's house. My mom called my dad to tell him what happened. He felt so helpless. My mom then called her mom, and she had been waiting for the call. Mama said that God woke her up and told her that there was an emergency with our family. She got up and started praying right then. She didn't know what she was praying for yet. She just knew it was life or death. My mom has always said that she had a direct line to God. As an atheist, I struggle with this, but it's indisputable that she knew things before they happened or as they were happening. I'm not totally sure what the point of this story was other than to share some trauma. I live in Oregon now, right in the middle of wildfire country, and summers are so triggering when it's smoky. One thing I do want to mention is to always make sure and clean your lint traps. My mom didn't clean ours, and she ran the dryer at night. Those two things almost killed us. Those are mistakes not worth repeating. For those keeping track, today is December 12th. Love you all. Kim from Oregon.
That is one thing that my mama instilled in me, the lint trap. That's so scary.
It is. You know what is actually so scary, too? That I left like clothes in the dryer, like, you know, when it's my, you know, dresser, basically, like it's my closet. And so I would tumble them just to like get them unwrinkled and stuff. Well, I was actually doing laundry, so I had to take those out. And the lint trap was so full, like from it just being there repeatedly. And I went to put it in after I cleaned it, but there was some lint in the bottom where it had overflowed kind of. So I like took my hand and like raked what I could, but I literally just remembered reading this that I need to get one of those lint things and clean it out. And I was, ugh. So that just made me think, oh shit, I really do. Like, what if this was the like your reminder? Yeah. I will say that I never run it when I'm leaving the house because I'm so scared like it'll catch fire and I don't want Birdie to get hurt. But like that was the same with Marley too. Even though I think they would run outside, but still like.
Yeah, Jax could run outside, but Maisie couldn't.
Right.
And I don't know that he would know to, you know, like I don't know that.
Yeah.
He would be like.
Well, and if Maisie didn't, who knows if he would go, you know what I mean? Oh, and I'm glad the bird was okay.
Yes. I know. And then, like, what do you grab when you're trying to grab all the things?
Ugh.
Especially, like you said, when it's like a trailer that's going to go, it goes so fast.
Yes. Sister Act really did save the day, though.
Like, for real. for real. I mean, it gave me a relationship, albeit a fake one, in my head. But I'm glad that your sister, like, got up, though, because if she had just continued to lay there and snooze it or whatever.
Well, and it just so happened that she was sleeping with y'all's mom, and your mom was like, just get up and do it. Because if she was in her room, she probably would have just snoozed.
Yeah.
I mean, like, oh, mama won't know.
Right. Because really, like, what's the harm in it just having continued? Like, it would have just stopped, I think.
Well, but it might have just, like, taken, because, you know, like, it would record everything.
No, but eventually the tape would run out, and so it would just stop. So it's, like, really no harm, no foul.
But she didn't want her to have to tape over something else.
Yeah.
Because it would kind of degrade it a little bit.
Mm.
It's just because we recorded a lot of shit. And then my brother would record wrestling over my shit. So it would have those little lines at the top. You know what I'm talking about? Like the little, like, oh my God. Just like bringing back memories of me having to like go down to the VCR and like do the little knob to try to get those off. Did you ever do that?
I don't remember doing that. Well, thank y'all so much for sending these stories in. And knowing that my butthole is still puckered, but keep them coming because they're awesome. And we love having them.
We love getting to know y'all. And y'all sharing these stories remind us of things that we've forgotten or,
yeah, you from know, even our experiences.
Yeah.
And two, it's so cool because so many people have similar stories that don't even realize, like, oh, like that's a thing. Like, I can't believe I have that too. And yada, yada, yada. So it helps everybody because, like, you know, people don't feel alone. They feel like, oh my God, well, I've experienced that too. So thank you all so much for sending them. If you want your story read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.